How you doing, everybody? God bless you. Good to be back in my chair. Jesus Christ is Lord. We are strangers just passing through. Just got back down from Pennsylvania. Had a little bit of an exciting time up there. My daughter, son-in-law had a baby. And I didn't have time for the hospital. Didn't have time for the midwife. Son-in-law ended up delivering the baby himself in the bathtub. And these things happen. So we went up there and, you know, just spent a little time with them and gave them some encouragement. They were shook up a little bit. But all is good. All is good. I'd like to tell you a little story about a man named... It's hard to pronounce his name, but he was the ruler of Romania, Casico. I'll just call him Casico. He was the ruler of Romania from 1965 to 1989. And he was a hardcore communist. And hardcore communists hate anything to do with religion. They hate anything to do with the growth of their people. Sounds good on paper, but in actuality, communism is basically how it turns out is a few elite get to live a fantastic life and the masses get basically stomped on. No innovativeness, no growth, no faith, nothing as far as the government goes. And this ruler in Romania held a firm grip, like I said, from 65 to 89. And back around 89, 90, the wall had come down. There was a lot of rioting going on. People wanted freedom. And he actually got thrown out of office and executed. So the people got their justice with him. Why am I talking about him? There was a man at this time. His name was Dmitry Dudeman. Nothing special in the world. Looked like a guy that just came out of a thrift store, you know, the way he would dress. And not putting down thrift stores, but you get the picture. He was a behind the Iron Curtain European guy, but without going into great detail, He became reborn, gave his life to the Lord, and a lot of crazy things spiritual were happening to him. Now you might say, why were they happening to him and why aren't they happening now? Why can't we see all the stuff that happened in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you know, in the books? The fact is, it is happening. However, Dudeman told a neat story. When this nasty ruler from Romania was in charge, everything was underground. The church was literally underground in a basement, doors locked. If anybody in there would rat on you, everybody was either executed or sent to prison. There was nothing but faith in that basement. You get the picture? Nothing but faith. People weren't worrying about their lives because they had none. People weren't worrying about their future because they had none. It was seeking God in the moment. And he claimed at that time, miracles would happen, just like in the Old Testament. Pillars of fire would come down. People would fall on the ground, get totally healed. People would bring cripples down to that basement, totally healed. Nothing but faith. And then he goes on to tell the story. After the execution of this horrible dictator, they didn't have to go underground anymore. And all of a sudden, the faith was leaving. Because now it was, you know, I got to take care of my car. I got to take care of my house. My kids want to go to school. I want to buy a new piece of property. So where there used to be nothing but faith because of the persecution, their life was totally narrowed down. They didn't care about a house. They didn't care about a car. They didn't care about education. They didn't care about anything because none of it was available. Life, as you would say, human life was the pit. But their faith in God was through the roof. But when that persecution left, Dudeman talks about faith leaving and people falling away. Why? Because of the world. The world got introduced back into their lives. And that's how it must have been with the first Christians. When all those people gathered, those 14 different nations gathered, and can you imagine how the Holy Spirit must have called those people in their nations? Some must have been called, who knows, maybe 2 or 3 years prior to the miracle. The Holy Spirit must have woke them up and said, you will go to this room. Start going. You know, a lot may have been on foot. Who knows how long it's not like you jumped on an Amtrak or took a plane. You walked. Or you took a horse or a donkey, but probably you walked. But the faith, when the day of Pentecost came, totally changed the dynamic of all the apostles, everybody that was in that room. And they went from worried about worldly things to ready to lay their life down. You know, and that's how we have to get, gang. And even as I'm sitting here, for all intents and purposes, I'm not hungry. I ate some food a couple hours ago, but I'm not hungry. If I want, I got food in my refrigerator. I got climate control in this house. If it gets a little bit warm, I turn the air conditioner on. If I want to go somewhere, I go in my car. I got to watch it. I got so many things, even family. I got a big family. I got lots of grandchildren, lots of things going on. At any given time, something could grab a hold of my mind. And if I don't watch it, it could grab a hold of my soul. And it could take me out of the realm of faith. Anxiety and fear can really take you out of the realm of faith real quick. So we have to watch it, just like Dmitri Dudeman said. And I saw him. I didn't personally meet him, but it was in the Eden Resort in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It had to be around maybe 1989 or so. And a very humble man. And he came and he told America that you're being judged back then. And he said we were going to be attacked from both borders. And different countries were going to come from both borders. And to a degree, this is manifesting what he talked about. But that being said, humble man. And the message was repent. Repent, Christians. Repent and build your faith. And we have so many things. Yet, all the murmuring, all the grumbling, all the complaining, all the anxiety. It seems the more things you have, the more you'll complain and you'll be anxious over. I guarantee you, whether it be the Dudeman gang in that basement or whether it be the apostles, they had not much to complain about because they had nothing. Even Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. The foxes have holes. I have nothing. He had nowhere to go. He said it. So we better watch it, gang. We better watch it. And I'll just read a couple verses here. You probably already know them. But Romans 12. I beg you, it says I beseech you, which means I beg you. This is Paul. Therefore, brethren, this is brothers in the Lord, sisters, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, rational service. It's only reasonable now that you and I become walking sacrifices. In other words, we sacrifice. We don't go with hatred. We put it on the altar when our human nature wants to hate, when our human nature wants revenge, when our human nature wants to complain or grumble or murmur, when our human nature wants to gossip, and it really wants to do these things, when our human nature wants lust and envy, you better be putting your human nature on the altar, because that's where the sacrifices were put on, the altar. Now you and I are living sacrifices. We're living sacrifices. We don't have to sacrifice anything. You're the sacrifice. That means you're following Jesus Christ. Die to the hatred, die to the envy, die to the lust. Say, Lord, I am not doing it. Am I being tempted? Yes. Am I being severely tempted? Maybe. But nonetheless, fight, endure, persevere through the temptation. This is where you truly show your worship to God. You show your worship to God. Sure, everybody likes nice music and all, but I'm talking true worship. When you submit, spiritually getting on the ground and giving everything to the Father. How do you do it? When you become a living sacrifice all day long. This isn't some religion you have to run and jump into, gang. It's right within you. Right within you now. You want to become a child of God? Accept him in your heart. Start following his convictions, because he promises that he will abide in you. If you call to him, he will abide, him, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, John 15, within you. And he will be your teacher. In Isaiah 30, it talks about he'll tell you to go to the left. He'll tell you how to go to the right. He will direct your path with a clear conscience. But it will be a walk, and you will be tested, and you will be chastened, because God loves you. Verse 2. This is after he tells us to be a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. This world system is a world based on selfishness. What's in it for me? I want as much as I can get, as long as I don't get caught, as long as I'm not hurting anybody. No, every time you sin, you're bringing a little more sin into this world. Any sin you do, there's a little more sin in your body, around the people that you love. Yes, sin is the opposite of righteousness. But every time you bring righteousness in, there's a little more righteousness in the world. There's a little bit more righteousness amongst the people that you're with. And that's pretty good. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, be changed by the renewing of your mind. With what? With the word of God, with truth, forgiveness, love. Yes, submissiveness to God, enduring the trials of life like a hard soldier, staying pure, guarding your mouth, guarding your eyes, guarding your ears. Not complaining, not grumbling, not being in self-pity. No, but giving thanks. Renewing your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the word prove means to test. You're going to have to test what is good, acceptable, and perfect in the will of God. And you do that when you renew your mind with God's word. Yes. And who's God's word? God's word is Jesus. And who's God's word? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The way. There's only one way. The truth. There's only one truth in the life. This is how we learn truth, gang. When ask the Holy Spirit into your life, if you haven't, get on your knees, and it's a walk. Yes, works will follow faith. Faith without works is dead. Even the devils, it says, tremble. They have faith. Demons have faith. They believe in God. But they can't do righteous. They can't do it. They don't have the Holy Spirit within them to be able to do it. No. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to you. You were bought with a price. The price was those nails through the hand of Jesus. God leaving his heavenly home, coming in the form of his word. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In Colossians, it says he was the exact image of God. Everything that was spoke of by the Father. He spoke everything into existence by who? The word of God who became flesh. Jesus Christ for our sacrifice. And now we have to become a living sacrifice. Gang, regardless of the political climate, regardless of what might be taking place, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what matters is eternity. What matters is heaven. That's what matters. And it's a spiritual walk. The flesh profits nothing. So stay in the Lord. Keep the faith. Don't let the comforts of this world choke anything out. Persevere and endure to the end. And God bless you. And amen.